The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning, everybody. I spent Thanksgiving week at home with my mom in India. It was a very unplanned visit. I generally don't go at that time of the year. But I went because some of mom's needs could not wait till my usual vacation in January. The consoling thing about leaving home this time was that both mom and I know that very soon, probably just in a month or more, we will be together. So that was consoling. But leaving home is never easy. And as is customary, when dad was there, we did the same thing. And now mom and I do the same thing. Before I leave the house, mom and I spend time in prayer. And it is the most meaningful, life-giving, hopeful experience that a son can ever have. So there is a picture of this, typical of every Indian home. There is a very prominent place in the living room where you have either in the image, maybe the crucifix or the image of the Sacred Heart or some image which is the central focus, and it's always religious, a central focus of the home. And so we have at our home the picture of the Holy Family with a lamp burning just in front of this picture. So this is enthroned. We enthrone this picture every year. Now this is our space for all family prayer. Whenever we pray, this is where we gather. And each time I leave, standing under this picture, my mom lays her hands on me and she prays. And then I lay my hands over her and I pray for her. And then she makes the sign of the cross on my forehead, entrusts me one more time to the Blessed Mother, because she did that when I was 17 years old, joining the seminary. She says to Mary, I'm entrusting him once again into your hands like I did so many years back. And then she gives me the warmest, most beautiful kiss. And then she says, go only to return. It's an Indian way of saying, we never say bye. Well, it's always bye and come back. So that's always an Indian way of greeting. So she says, go only to return. This time, knowing that I would be back in a few weeks, she added something else. She also said, pratyasha. Pratyasha is a Sanskrit word, and Sanskrit is the root of all Indian languages. So even in my language, the word pratyasha, Sanskrit word, is the same in Malayalam. So she said, pratyasha. Pratyasha. It's the Sanskrit word for hope. And then she pointed to the picture of the Holy Family. Then she touched her heart and she looked straight at me and she said, pratyasha. The assurance that mom and I have of being together again one more time. That's hope. And from now, and from the time that I stepped out of my house till I come back, that is what she's going to live for. Now, I get busier, sometimes I lose sight of that, but for mom, my gosh, every moment from the time I left till I come, that is pratyasha, hope. And I can tell you this, even though it's just a month for me to meet her again, January will be heaven all over again. When I hug her for that first time in January, it'll be like, that's the hope, that's the pratyasha leading to joy. life, joy-giving hope, if you want to call it, right? Hope that leads to joy. And I share this story with you today on a very personal note because it connects me to the spirit of Advent that is in our scripture readings today. It is the spirit of pratyasha, hope, hope that leads to joy. I just told you my story, but today's scripture tells us other stories of hope. Today's first reading from the book of Isaiah captures the hope and joy of an exiled people. Folks, 70 years, the exile lasted 70 years, and it was 70 years of desolation, abandonment, despair, and absolute hopelessness. And then, like rain in a parched land, the exiles heard words of hope. Isaiah proclaims, "Strengthen the hands that are feeble, make firm the knees that are weak. Say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense, he comes to save you." And folks, what they felt after 70 years of absolute abandonment was pratyasha, hope. The hope of the exiles made way to joy. The people got a glimpse into the possibility of returning home. So Isaiah says, "Sorrow and mourning will flee. They will meet with everlasting joy and gladness." Hope that leads to joy. And it happened. The people went back to the promised land. They rebuilt the temple. They rebuilt the land. Hope turned into joy. And we have yet another story in today's gospel reading. A people suppressed and oppressed by the Roman Empire awaited a Messiah. This time, though, the hope was not just of the people of Israel. It was the hope of all humanity. Humanity awaited salvation. John the Baptist is in prison. He verbalizes that hope as he sends his emissaries to Jesus and asks this question: "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" Jesus' answer was indirect, but look at this. He points to the hope and joy of a people that have already experienced the coming of the Messiah. He says, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them." Once again, hope, pratyasha, realized in joy. Jesus becomes the joy of humanity. So here are my 3 points, really 3 practical implications for us today. Folks, first of all, I don't know who needs to hear this today, because our lives are all in different places. But as I said, I don't know who needs to hear this today, but please never, never give up hope. Everything around you might say otherwise, but never give up hope. If hope could emerge after 70 years of exile, if hope can emerge from a nation in bondage, if hope can emerge from a lowly manger, if hope could emerge from a dreadful cross, if hope could emerge from a dark tomb, then you and I should cling on to hope no matter what. You know, this morning I had Mass for the Hispanic folks. I had the 9 o'clock Mass in Spanish. This church was full, and I can tell you that probably 90% of those people who were present over here, they're undocumented. Now, if you want to meet a people who never give up hope, you got to encounter these people. You know why? My parents and I, my mom and I, can't wait for 1 month to meet each other. These people never return home. Even when their parents pass away, because they cannot, if they go, they cannot come back in. As I was preaching this homily today, you could hear tears, you can see tears in people's faces. You know why? Because in spite of everything that says otherwise, this is a people of hope. They never give up hope. And if they do not give up hope, you and I should never give up hope. Never, ever give up hope. Secondly, we're going to talk about joy. Today, what I want to propose, joy is not merely in grand experiences, right? I mean, sometimes we think of joy as something that's out of the ordinary. For example, today I'm going to baptize this baby here today, and it's a very special baptism because Megan was that little when I first met her. And then I did her wedding, and now she brings her baby here to be baptized. I mean, this is joy. As far as I'm concerned, joy. But you know what? Doesn't happen every day, right? If we wait for joy every day, then we are going to be a little disappointed in the sense that joy is not merely about great, grand, fabulous events. Joy, we have to find it in the ordinary experiences of our daily lives. The joy of friendship. The joy of companionship. The joy of a job well done. The joy we get from nature. The joy of a restful night. The joy of helping somebody in need. Look at these gifts sitting here. I hope you find joy in something as simple as this. The joy of reading something inspirational. The joy of prayer. The joy of faith. All these come from God. And if we don't find this joy in the ordinariness of life, we'll miss joy. Let us not be slow to recognize the small joys in which Christ is present in our midst. This is an Advent spirit. And finally, all of us, in some area of our life stand in need of hope. But in another area of our life, we have hope to offer to somebody else. So this is, hope is a two-way street. Some area of our lives, we need hope. In another area of life, we are somebody's hope. All of us in one area of our life stand in need of joy, and another area of our life have joy to offer. This coming week, for someone out there, you will be their only hope. For someone out there this week, you will be their only joy. And I'm saying this week, only give hope. Because when people experience hope, it's a God experience. This week, only give joy. And my prayer is that in giving hope, in giving joy, you may yourself find hope and joy. As we celebrate this Eucharist, we recognize that our greatest hope and our greatest joy in a few moments will be upon this altar. And of course, we are preparing for Christmas. We believe that Christ comes to us during this Christmas in a new way. And someday we'll see God face to face. But now, today, at this hour, our hope is right here. Let's receive this hope. Let's receive His joy. And as we receive it, I pray that we take it to the whole city of Dayton, wherever we go tomorrow. May we share the hope and the joy of the Christ who has come to save us. People of God said, Amen.